Now read today's Bible passage. Today's passage is from 1 Samuel chapter 26, verses 21 through 25. 1 Samuel chapter 26, verses 21 through 25. Then Saul said, "I have sinned. Return, my son David, for I will no more do you harm, because my life was precious in your eyes this day. Behold, I have acted foolishly and have made a great mistake." And David answered and said, "Here is the spear, O king. Let one of the young men come over and take it. The Lord rewards every man for his righteousness and his faithfulness, for the Lord gave you into my hand today, and I would not put out my hand against the Lord's anointed." Behold, as your life was precious this day in my sight, so may my life be precious in the sight of the Lord, and may he deliver me out of all tribulation. Then Saul said to David, "Blessed be you, my son David. You will do many things and will succeed in them." So David went his way, and Saul returned to his place. Please allow me to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to be able to worship you again here today. Last month has passed, and it was wonderful to be able to pray during prayer month with a lot of the members of the church at that time. Thank you for allowing us to come before you to be able to pray. We ask, Lord, that through the message we're about to hear today, that we can remember the content and pray and make good choices when we are choosing which path to go on. Please strengthen our faith, Lord. Please watch over Pastor Osumi as he speaks this morning and bless him abundantly. We pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Good morning. It's not raining anymore, and I hope you're enjoying the 3-day weekend. There's a few people probably are out doing something today. There's some people who go to amusement parks, perhaps. And there was once at a Japanese amusement park an attraction that had a sign at the entrance, and it says, "This is your life." And there was a curtain behind it, and you have to open up the curtain, and there was a big mirror there, and it would show the person who was looking in the mirror, of course, and there was something written to the side of it. "This is your life, and this is the most terrible animal in the world." So what they were trying to tell us is that humans are the most terrible animals, beings in the world. And there was another attraction also saying that this is your life. And there were these little hole in a wall. And there was a whole bunch of shoes all in a line there. And it says, "This is your life." And in Japanese, kutsu can also mean pain. So it's a joke that there's a lot of pain in your life, which is maybe true, but unfortunate. And then there was another attraction that also said, "This is your life." And there was another hole. And there was all this dirty clothes and socks and over there. And there was a machine in the back, a washing machine. And it says, "This is your life." It is a continuous type of choices. And in Japanese, it's a joke because sentaku means washing. In English, it doesn't translate. But it is true that we have a lot of choices to make in our lives. What we eat, it's almost lunchtime, right? Have you decided what you're going to eat? What are you going to eat? What are you going to drink? What are you going to wear? Where are you going to go? All these kinds of choices. And we have to make them every single day. And that's true for marriage as well. Who are you going to marry? Obviously changes a huge direction of where your life is headed. Solomon said the following, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits." And here he's talking about not physical death and life, but about like life and death and the decisions we make in our lives. And like Portis, sadness and joy. And the decisions we make and what we say out of our mouths also and makes a huge direction change in our lives. If we are very negative and deny things and self-centered and talk in that way, then our lives will be in reflective of that and have a lot of sad and unfortunate things happen likely. However, if you're really positive and you're proactive in what you say and do, then your life will be just as that and be filled with joy and things to look forward and excitement. And that's the direction it will go. So it really makes a big difference as to how you choose your words and make other choices in your lives as to what your life ends up being. In today's passage, we're seeing the situation with David and Saul here. And it's true that David was actually given the opportunity to kill Saul. But in both times, he decided not to do so. And today's passage is the second account of that. His men were telling David, "This is your chance, David. Kill Saul. You'll be the king." However, David refused to do so. The reason why is that he said that he had no desire to go against the hand of the Lord's anointed. He knew that that was not right. And that's what he allowed him to make the decision not to kill Saul. So David and Saul and David met each other here. And Saul says, "I have sinned." He realized that he had made a mistake and he was asking David to come back. But David refused to do so and it ended up that they ended up going separate ways. David made his decision to go his way and Saul made his decision to go back to his house. David wasn't really believing what Saul said and he went to the land of the Philistines. Because of that, Saul realized that he didn't really need to try to get after David anymore. And he didn't want to go into the land of the enemies to try and look for David, so he gave up trying to go after him. Because of this, the two of them would not meet again. They realized that they could not be together, and that is why they ended up going separate ways. This was the time when they decided to go two different directions. And you can see how Saul was very emotional and highly unstable. David knew that. And that's why he didn't decide to follow what Saul was telling him to do. Saul had, you know, all these emotional things going on and he couldn't decide to follow David. He, even though he said he had sinned, he couldn't follow through with that repentance and would try to possibly go after David again. And so that's why David couldn't trust him. Because of this, after time had passed, David was fearful that Saul would come after him again. David gave up. Saul gave up on trying to persuade David to join him, and that decided what their fate would be. He knew that if he was going to be up against the Philistines, then that would be another issue. Yeah, but actually, in Saul's decision, he didn't realize that he would be, in doing so, putting himself up for his own fatal battle. And he ended up dying on the battle scene. Our lives can change dramatically by 180 degrees even with the simple decisions we make. If we can see a totally different outcome by what we decide to do. There's a famous story in the U.S. about two young men who were, you know, up to no good. And they went up into a city and trying to find something interesting to do one evening. And there was a church along the way. And in front of the church, it had, you know, Bible verse. And it said, the wages of sin is death. If you have sin, that's going to lead you to death. And one of the young men was really hit in the heart by that voice. And he's like, oh my gosh, I'm headed to do something not great. And that's going to lead to death. And so he told his friend, I'm going to go to a church and see what they have to say about this. And the other guy was like, well, what are you talking about? Let's go into the city and just find something to do. There's probably going to be we can probably get into, you know, a lot of trouble and so on. I'm going to go. So they ended up going different directions. The one guy went into the church and participated in the evening service, heard God's word, and became a Christian. The other guy went into the city and, as planned, caused problems and got involved into evil, and it became even worse. After days and months had passed, the guy who went to church and became a Christian became a politician. And he became the 22nd and 24th president of the United States. In America, to have a presidential role, you can usually have it two terms in a row. But President Cleveland was different in that he was the 22nd and the 24th, not the 23rd president of the U.S. And his a newspaper of his inauguration was given out. And the guy, his friend, was cursing his life in prison, reading about his friend who was inaugurated as president. And he was very angry and very distraught over this. And in prison, he apparently caused quite a scene. So life is something that can be greatly changed by the decisions you make. In the Bible, it talks about two other people who ended up going two different directions as well. One was the evil king of Israel, Ahab. And the other was Obadiah, his chief civil servant. And from Elijah, they were told that there was not going to be rain. And so they went around the area looking for grass to feed their livestock, and they went separate directions in doing so. On the path that Obadiah went on, he came across Elijah, the prophet, and he asked for help, and he was helped. However, for Ahab, he didn't meet with God, and in the end, he actually was led to destruction. To go in the direction of life or death is something that we ourselves can decide. It's likely you may have seen this photo before. Let's see if it'll show on the screen. Maybe not. Oh, here we go. It's possible that you've seen this photo before. In 1972, it was taken during the Vietnam War, during the napalm attack at that time. And there was a little girl who, at the age of 9 at that time, by the name of Phan Thi Kim Phuc, who was running naked in the street after her clothes were burned off in the bombing. And this picture won a Pulitzer Prize. She had huge burns all over her back, and over a period of 17 surgeries, she was able to recover, of course, with a lot of complications. The Vietnam government actually allowed her to escape to Canada, and she married a Vietnamese man there and married. And that, so she began her life in Canada. In 1996, when she was in Canada, there was a Veterans Day event in the U.S., and this was a day where there are various lectures given, and she was able to go to one of the lectures and speak there. There was a person there at that time who attended the lecture who would become a Methodist reverend by the name of John Palmer later. He actually, during the Vietnam War, was one of the people who was a pilot in the Nepal attack. And he was one of the people who bombed her village. Of course, there were a lot of helicopters at that time, and so it is unclear as to whether he was actually the one who had bombed, did the bombing that impacted her, but he was one of the people who was responsible for planning that bombing attack. And so when looking at that photo, he was always really hurt by it. And he always felt terrible. He actually was so distraught over it that it ruined the marriage he had. Anyway, he went to listen to this lecture where Phan Chi Phuc was speaking, and she was saying that behind her in the photo and on the sides of it, there were many people who were dead, who died in that bombing. But even though their lives were over, nobody bothered to take a photo of them. They only took a picture of her. And so the photo only shows a little portion of the actual reality of what took place then. She really wanted to convey that the situation was much worse than what is just shown in the photo. However, she also said that she wanted to forgive those who bombed the village, that even though the past can't be changed, she can work to improve the future. So in Canada, she actually started a foundation called the Kim Foundation to help such people. And she also serves as a goodwill ambassador for UNESCO. So that's what Plummer heard, her saying that. And he actually, after she finished speaking, went up to her. And he was just saying, I'm so sorry. I was the one of the people who bombed your village. Please forgive me. I'm so sorry. And Kim Phuc, who was a Christian, hugged him and said, It's okay. I forgive you. And that's what she had to say to him. It's likely that in going to America and having to face America, she likely had other feelings in her heart as well. However, because she was able to experience the forgiveness from Jesus Christ, she too made the decision to direct her life in that from a direction of death to life. And she was able to use her situation to be able to help others who had experienced such trauma. To make the decision to forgive is something that not only helps yourself, but can also help direct the lives of others from that of a path of death to life. Saul, it seems, was going to be forgiveful, but it actually his heart hadn't really changed. He still had hatred, anger, resentment, fear, and envy in his heart. He wasn't able to let go of those feelings and emotions. If he had been able to let go of those things, it's likely his life would have been completely different thereafter. To let go of such emotions and feelings and to make the decision to follow David, it would have actually been a choice he could have made. And it would have likely helped both of them if they had been on the same page. He would have possibly been able to kill the Philistines rather than be killed by them and led a life headed toward peace instead. However, unfortunately, his life ended in a tragedy rather than victory. Last month, the women's group here at the church had their yearly bus trip, and every year I go, but my purpose in going along with them is to eat delicious food. We went up to the Nikko area, and especially this time, we went to Gunma Prefecture as well, to the Tomohiro Yoshino Museum, and it's likely that we went there this year because this was the year he passed away. In the museum, they actually have a book of condolences and a place where you can fill in your name and so on. As for me personally, my impression was that the various poetry that was posted there really was one poetry that actually showed his faith, and it seemed to me it was really a good testimony of his Christian faith. So I was really glad to go see that special exhibit. Mr. Tomohiro Hoshino actually 7 years ago met with Shigeki Hinohara, who was 105, and he was a famous doctor, and they published a book about his conversation with that man. And here you can see the book. The title of the book is Because We Only Have One Life. And what Hoshino had to say was something that was really impressionable, so I'd like to share it with you. They asked Hoshino, after staying in the hospital 9 years, how he could have possibly had hope for anything. And he responded by saying, yes, actually at first when I was injured, right after my injury, my heart was in a mess and I was in a lot of pain, both physically and emotionally. And I didn't have any hope for the future. I knew that I thought I never could be happy again. However, after a few months, even though my situation didn't change, I realized something kind of interesting. I realized things were actually really great, and I started to like laugh about some things that occurred to me. For example, I had to have an IV multiple times, and then when the doctor would say, it's almost done, and I'd watch the last drips going in, and then when the last one dropped down, it would make me like real happy. It just stop. And I'd be like, yeah, it's over. And I was just like filled with joy for some reason. Even though my physical stance hadn't changed, things such as this actually gave me happiness. I realized that regardless of circumstances, there's always something we can be happy about and sense happiness in. I realized that even such small things as this could bring joy. So even though I physically couldn't move, I could realize that there would be such similar things that would bring joy in the future, and that gave me hope. What do you think? When an IV ends, and of course you could move, wouldn't that be great? But for him, he couldn't even physically move. It was just done. But at least he could in his heart think, yay, it's done. At that time, it's possible that he just thought that randomly, but it did really bring about a change in his heart that he realized that it is possible to find joy in even very tiny things that occur in your life. And by discovering that, he could have hope for the future. And after a while, there was an electronic wheelchair that was put in his place. However, and he couldn't physically move from neck down, but he could move his face. And he was able to move around in that in just a very little space. You know, us, we can just go anywhere we want. And it's likely that when he was in good health, he could have gone anywhere and he would have just bypassed all these different flowers and other small things. However, because he wasn't able to freely move about on his own, he was able to notice all of these tiny little flowers and grass and other things that he otherwise likely wouldn't have noticed. If you see his poetry and his paintings, you will see all kinds of different flowers, and they're all very beautiful. And a lot of these are things, are not famous flowers, they're just kind of random things. However, Hoshino really was able to draw them in very great detail and do a really good job of also providing appropriate poetry for them. Up until his accident, he likely wouldn't have even noticed about him, but by going through what he did, he was able to be impressed with even just one thorn or thistle on a plant, and even the holes that bugs ate through the leaves. As for ourselves, when we see his works, we can see his perception of how he was looking at, and we can be encouraged by what he was encouraged by. We can see how he was encouraged by and impressed by the beautifulness of these items, and we too can be as well. It's true that in our lives there is such grass and flowers and stuff around, but we obviously just don't notice that. We also miss other blessings in our life because we're so caught up with other things. We're just focused on other things and can't see a lot of the wonderful things that are available to us. Because of his limited ability to move, Hoshino is able to look very carefully at all of these tiny little things in life that we, who are more healthy, would be able to bypass. He would notice things here and there and then, and that actually gave him joy in his life. We can really see how life is truly a series of choices. Most people here today are likely Christian, and the biggest choice you can make is to select Jesus Christ as your Savior. To make that decision will change your life's perception completely. It'll change everything from death to life. So you can start your life by following Jesus. If you haven't made that decision, I encourage you to do so as quickly as you can. If you have, even regardless, every person does have a life full of choices, and things will just bypass you if you don't make decisions. And in light of this, we can realize just how amazing it was that Hoshino was able to notice such tiny things in his life that otherwise we would just bypass. He would realize tiny little things here and there, and to have the desire to notice such things. We too can make such a decision in our life to look for such things, to look for such blessings. God is obviously making them for us. I would like to tell one more testimony and then we'll close today. It was a while ago, but at a different church outside of the prefecture, I went to speak and give a message at the service. The pastor there was unable to preach that day, so that's why I was there. And there were three people at the church who were visiting for the first time. They had come from a different church about an hour or so away and wrote their names on the ledger. And so with them and about 20 or 30 other people, we had the worship service, and I spoke. After it, there was a meal served, and a couple people asked for prayer, so I prayed for them. And then these three visitors were waiting, still waiting, and two of them were man and woman, and another was another woman. They actually attended another church, but because they didn't have a service that day due to circumstances, they decided to go to this church, so that's why they decided to go there and went to spend the night in that area as well. And the three of them couldn't attend this other church event, so they decided to go to this church that I was preaching at instead. And two, the man and wife invited this other lady to go with them. And you know, unfortunately, I was the guest pastor, and it wasn't even the real pastor there that day. But the woman of the three came up to me crying at the end. And she said, "Thank you so much for speaking today." I had spoken, giving testimony of my life, actually. And she was shocked because she had experienced almost the same exact thing in her life. You know, I thought that what I had experienced that, you know, in my life was pretty rare and that likely nobody else would experience things. But actually, that was almost exactly what she had experienced. And I explained how things were very difficult for me. And she actually was feeling the same thing and couldn't even go to church because she was feeling so terrible. However, that day, the two, the man and wife at the church had invited her to go with them to this other church. So she went along. And that's, oh, she made the decision to go to them. She went with them in the end, of course, and was able to hear the message I had. And she realized that God was really speaking to her. And it really gave her encouragement to take a step forward and to move forward in her life. If you think about it, if this man and woman had decided not to go to that church that day, then, or if they had decided not to invite their friend, then what would have happened? That friend would have obviously not gone on her own, and so it would have been a totally different outcome. And so it's very unfortunate that they made the decision to go. God was able to use those circumstances to bless this woman and to bless the choice that she made. As for you, it's likely that there's a lot of blessings God has arranged for you. It's just your choice as to whether you will select to receive them or not. Every day, we have the decision and can have the impression, oh, this was bad and that was bad. But if we really think about it, in our lives are truly filled with blessing around us. We just have to choose to acknowledge and receive those blessings. And in that way, it can become yours. God will have, obviously, blessings in store for us this week, this month, and in the coming year as well. I encourage you to have your eyes open and be able to notice such blessings. Let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we have the opportunity to make various choices in our lives. And sometimes we make poor choices and have hatred or sadness in our lives as a result of that. However, Lord, we can come before you and we realize that you are God who is a God of joy and thanksgiving and praise. And you do have great things in store for us. Allow our eyes to be open, Lord, and that of our brothers and sisters in Christ. Allow us to be able to make good choices, Lord. Allow us to be able to see the blessings that you have arranged for us in our daily basis. Allow us to be able to go in the path that you have chosen for us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, well, let's pray for a moment in silence. Please allow me to pray once more. May the grace of Jesus Christ, the love of our Heavenly Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with all of you now and forevermore. Amen. Thank you very much. We have announcements next. It's going to be the upcoming weekend. We're going to have a children's dedication ceremony. Anyone who with young children is welcome to come with their children age 0 through elementary school for a blessing. And the photo club at the church is going to take professional photos of you and your family at that time. And this will take place at all of the worship services, so you can come on either Saturday or Sunday to any of the services for this. And the pastors will be happy to pray for your children. This is the Naomi group, and it's going to be on the 17th after second service in the salon. There's going to be a testimony given. Anjiki Sensei is going to be the tour leader to go to Nagasaki. And this year, next year, we're not exactly sure about going to Israel, so we're going to postpone that opportunity and go to Nagasaki instead. And you can see the various places they're going to visit. If you would like to go or you want more information, please either sign up or request information in the office. This is information about a lecture that's going to be given at the end of the month on the 30th and 1:30 p.m. after third service. Previous Yakuza member is going to be speaking. He is now a pastor. This is information about Joyful Christmas. It's upcoming and the tickets are available. You can get some in the back of the sanctuary today if you would like to and pass them out to family members or friends. We hope many people can attend. We also need various people to volunteer at Joyful Christmas, helping out with the reception desk and also with parking and so on. Please, if you're able to, sign up to help at Joyful Christmas. This will be a great opportunity to share Christ with the people attending the event. If you're able to cooperate once again, please sign up out in the entryway. UCLA's third term is taking place. Myself and Pastor Anjiki are the lecturers. And you're welcome to come watch at church or on YouTube or through CD and so on. A DVD, sorry. This is Worship Stretch. It takes place once a month on the second Saturday from 11:15 to 12:30. And so this will be next Saturday. You're welcome to participate. Now we'll celebrate people from birthday with birthdays this week. I'll stop interpreting for just a moment.